Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Alfredo from Rock of Life Fellowship, and welcome to Christ Today. This is probably about the sixth or seventh time I think I've done this program for John, who's out recuperating from an arm injury, and hopefully, thank God, he's getting better. Just spoke to him a couple of days ago, actually, text messages, and said he's actually doing better and he's on the mend, so we'll keep praying for him. So we have been talking the last few weeks about a lot of different topics, and I tell you one thing, there's a lot going on. Sometimes I'm like, boy, we could talk about anything. I look at articles on Christian news and the regular news. I'm looking at topics that are going on with people that I talk to. And I tell you, the world's pretty crazy right now. So this is Christ Today. This is Pastor Alfredo Romero. I'm the pastor of Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. And so here's a topic for today. And it's pretty much what I was searching for. I am at times talking with people and reading news, like I said, and there's so many topics out there. It's overwhelming. It's stressful in some ways, and I think that's pretty much what the topic is today. I don't have to tell anyone that things in this world are pretty crazy right now, like immensely. If you look at the different things that are going on in the world biblically, which we talked about last week, we talked about things that are the world events that are biblical, no matter what the topic is. You know, what is the biblical relevance? So if we talk about 20 different subjects, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world, you can look at all the events going on in the world, and you can talk about end times, you can talk about how people are separated from God, how people are rejecting him, the political points of view of the Bible. You could talk about the trials and the tribulations. Look, there's a lot of things going on. People are stressed out. There's a lot of people that are struggling right now, and that's pretty much what we'll talk about today. There's a lot of stress. People are overwhelmed, whether you have faith in God or not, and we'll talk about the difference in how we deal with stress when you have a relationship with Jesus and when you don't, and there is quite a difference. But when you start thinking about the things that people are going through who don't follow Christ, it's difficult to understand how they're even handling it. I don't really know how you get through life without Christ. I mean, I do know because in the sense of there was a time in my life where I wasn't depending on God at all, trying to do things my way, trying to handle things, you know, doing things where I would look at it in my own strength, my own power. And there's a big difference when you rely on God. But okay, so here's what tipped me off this week to this topic. What tipped me off was there is an article that I came across. It's from the American Psychological Association. Now, I'm going to give you a disclaimer, though. And the disclaimer is basically, look, I like to look at statistics. I like to read polls, Barna, Pew, all the research, Gallup, and independent polls, even polls from media. But I will tell you, the disclaimer is basically most of them come from a worldview or a perspective of these articles that have to do with no relation with Christ. It's non-theological, no faith involved. Most of these polls that you may look at, they don't have anything to do with God at all. So with that, that's the disclaimer. However, I do look at the statistics, though, and I do look at the numbers that they put out, because those, depending on making sure that you have an accurate article that you're looking at, something that's reliable, I will depend somewhat on the statistics that they put out. So this American Psychological Association just recently, their latest information pretty much ends about 2021. We're in 2022, obviously. So you can't get any information collected from this year quite yet. But they're basically saying is that people across the United States are stressed. Now, I will admit, there are times where I do get stressed. I do get overwhelmed. There's a lot going on, and I could share some stuff about me personally in a little while that just so people can relate. But this article, this perspective and the statistics that they pulled basically said, people across the United States are stressed. I'm going to read, and I'll go in and out of it. But the sources, they say the intensity, ever since 2007, there was a Harris poll, and there's this major jump between 2007 and 2020 about stress and how people are dealing with it. They're basically saying, what is the big difference between the stress people are exhibiting, which has jumped 60%, basically? What is the jump between the last 13 years and today? Now, what they say is, according to this this survey, that the COVID-19 pandemic has a lot to do with it. And I would agree, yeah, this whole thing's been stressful. Whatever your perspectives are on the COVID pandemic, what you thought was real, what wasn't real, what you thought statistics were accurate or not, there's no doubt about it that this COVID response has shut down, so many different things. So they're basically stating it's disrupted our work, our education, our healthcare, the economy, relationships, and negatively impacted it. This is the way the numbers they pulled up. 8 in 10 adults, 78% say that they're much more stressed now than they were just a few years ago. 2 out of 3 adults, or 67%, say they've experienced increased stress over the course of the pandemic. I'm going to interject here for a second. Yes, there is a lot of things going on because of the pandemic. However, a lot of these things, man has created themselves. And this is where you get the biblical perspective on this. A lot of the stress that we deal with, I'm going to be honest. I'll be upfront. We did it. We created this. I mean, besides the natural disasters and things that happen and the illnesses and diseases and some of the tragedies that happen, if you put that aside, a lot of the stuff that we stress out about collectively, whether you're a believer or not, it's man-made. We made it. We did it. We do the wars. We do the crime. We do some of even diseases we spread by behavior that doesn't line up to the Word of God. And a lot of the things that we deal with, the political fighting and the division and even some of the culture wars that we have, those are all man-made. Those could have been avoided if we would just people hadn't been evil or mean. And I'm just going to say it. And when you don't follow the Word of God, things fall apart. They really do. And I'll get into that more later. I'm just making a point that this article is basically saying, I'm going to give you some information. The article is basically saying a lot of the symptoms from the stress have to do with the pandemic. Also, according to this article, and this is, I'm going to say it again for those of you that just joined, the American Psychological Association, they're saying that a lot of the stress that people deal with lately have to do with healthcare, Healthcare concerns are up 66%. Mass shootings, global warming or climate change causes a significant amount of stress. And we're not going to talk about that today. Immigration issues, suicide rates, widespread crime, the heroin, opioid, fentanyl epidemic, mass shootings. And what they're basically saying, this article is that these are the main causers of our stress. And I would beg to differ because I'm telling you, I'm a pastor, so I can say up front, yes, these are all causes for concern, causes for being overwhelmed, and causes for stress. But I'm going to say again, a lot of this stuff is caused by our own self. We can control this stuff if we would just get our acts in line here, ACTS. So here's the thing. You know, people are finding, according to this article, finding it's very difficult. The hardships have been causing them stress, and the stress is increasing. Here's some more statistics. More than 3 out of 4 adults, 77%, say that the future of our nation is a significant source of stress, where we're headed as a nation, whether it's education, work, financial, politics, crime, culture wars. This is all contributing to the stress. Now, interesting, this is what I found interesting. They say, the American Psychological Association, I'm going to keep saying they say that Gen Z is the one that's being affected, ages 18 to 23. It's pretty much the youth up today. I would even say it probably goes 13 to 23, that they are more worried about the future. The biggest cause of stress in Gen Z is the future. They don't know where they're headed. I'm trying to read this article. They're concerned about the future of our nation, the climate, education, healthcare. They're worried about crime. They're worried about wars. They're worried about everything. And here's my issue with this. I'm going to interject. They haven't been given any hope. We've jacked these kids up, and I'm angry about it, because if you know me at all, you know how I feel about youth and kids. I love them. My heart breaks for kids. And the last few years, all we've been doing, and I say collectively, groups have been telling these kids that there's no hope. You've got teenagers out there, spokesmen for how the world's going to end pretty soon, and how we're destroying it, and there's no hope, and the education system is falling, and nobody can get along anymore. And the kids are reading this online, and they're looking at the text and the tweets from Twitter and all these social media and Facebook and the news. And I don't know how I would handle it, being if I was a 16-year-old again. I don't blame some of these kids for the depression that's going on in their lives, because as the adults, and especially people that are in charge and the ones that are causing this division, they're not giving these kids any hope at all. It's horrible. 8 out of 10 adults in the Gen Z from that 18 to 23 range, they say the future of our nation is the significant source of stress in their life. Why? Because they don't have any hope. They're not hearing the gospel. And this is the issue that we talked about this a few weeks ago. Every generation that goes by becomes less and less unchurched, or more and more unchurched. The kids aren't going to church anymore. No more Bible studies. No more youth groups. Parents aren't going to church. There's no fellowship, Bible studies. Now, I can't say just church, but I'm saying a relationship with Christ. The youth, ever since the 50s, every generation that passes is less and less involved with Jesus. So obviously, and we've talked about this before, but there's these great memes that you see, KNOW and NO. If there's no Jesus, there's no peace. But if you know Jesus, you'll know peace. And the same thing with hope. If you know Jesus, there's hope. If you don't know Jesus, you know, there is no hope. So it's crazy what the youth is being poured into nowadays. And I don't even want to get into that. That's not the main point of our conversation today. It's distress over everyone right now. The adults say that one of the main causes of stress for them is their children's future, their schooling. The pandemic, according to this article, the 2019-2020 school year was a main cause of stress for them. Parents didn't have childcare. They couldn't go to work, or because the kids weren't in school, or they were suddenly moms and dads that had full-time jobs or even part-time jobs suddenly found themselves being, you know, teachers having to do homeschool or following up on the school work that the kids were doing. And that caused a major stress because you couldn't get childcare. You had to do triple duty besides being a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad. Now you're a teacher. It's a lot of stress. So I'm just, whatever it is, I'm just saying that's what most of the parents are saying was a cause of stress. Now, here's the big thing. On top of that, stress is this common human experience, right? Particularly in a world where there's so much going on. Our jobs, our health, our family, our friends. There's so much to handle. And I've said this before. Look, here's a bottom line to all this, okay? And we're going to get into the biblical aspects of stress. It's going to happen. Life is going to happen. Since the beginning of time, there's been something. If it's not wars or battles or culture wars or crime, or if it's not natural disasters or the stress of trying to be taking care of a family, this stuff has always happened. Now, there's only two things that we can do. One of them is we can go through life with God or without God. And it's just way better with Him. Because life is going to happen. God says, His word says, life is going to happen. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be things that are going to happen in life. But we can go through this life with God or without Him. And the main cause of all the stress in the world that you see increasing right now is because whenever God decides to wrap this up, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, whatever, God says that things are going to start as they get to be wrapping up. I'm getting excited about this because I like end times topics, and that's going to be maybe next week. But with everything that's going on in this world, God says, hey, look, when time gets close to God saying, that's it, we're done, I'm wrapping this up, that things are going to get more stressful. They are going to get more wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be more famines and pestilence and diseases and violence, and what's right will be wrong, what's wrong will be right, etc. So here's the big thing. The big thing is, and I'm trying to get to this point, God still gives us an answer to this. God still says, look, I've got something to offer you. I can give you hope when the world doesn't see hope. I can give you a joy when the world isn't giving you happiness. God says, I can give you a future when the present seems hopeless and that we're doomed with this present. So listen, if you're listening to this message and this conversation, really, and you don't know Christ, maybe you're just flipping the channels, hang on, because about the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to talk about how we handle stress. Whether you're a believer in Christ or not, what can we do to not be overwhelmed by everything that goes on in this world? If you just joined us, we listed some information from an article from the American Psychological Association. It's from National Mental Health Crisis. And talking about all the stress that people are feeling right now in this world and all the different reasons, you know, whether it's political or it's educational or pandemics or crime or whatever else is going on, just trying to make ends meet as a whether you're an individual or a couple or a family, just trying to make the bills and the rent and the food and the mortgage or the whatever. There's just a lot of stuff going on. All right, so here's where we're really going to start this message. That was kind of the precursor. So bear with me. I've got tons of notes, and I want to make sure that we do this so I don't go too fast. I don't want to go too fast. So here's the part. Part of the stress that we deal with and how we handle it, how we deal with being overwhelmed and the world and all the stuff that happens, how we deal with it depends really on who we are, who we know, who we belong to. And that's the way it works. So you're wondering, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're wondering, all right, here we go. No, here's the gospel. Well, yeah, and more. So hang on. See, how we deal with things that happen to us really depends on the foundation that we're standing on. What gives us balance? What gives us a structure, a foundation, a support? Who's our support? If we think we can do it all ourselves, I mean, even non-believers would say, I can't handle this myself. I need help. I need to see a counselor. I need a family member. I need to depend on friends, my job, whatever. They're searching for something to depend on. Now, if you are a believer, then you would say, okay, well, who I am is a child of God. Who we know is Jesus. Who we belong to is our Father. And there's a lot to that. See, the ultimate solution to stress and being overwhelmed, because even if you fixed all the problems, even if you had all the money that you needed and lived in a nice house, you didn't have to worry about things, life's still going to happen. So material things isn't the answer. I mean, I just read Tom Brady, right? 8-7 Super Bowl rings, immensely popular athlete, married to a supermodel, millions upon millions of dollars. You'd think he'd have it all. He's got kids, but he's still searching. He stayed in football another year. And apparently, from what I read, because I read a lot about everything, apparently their marriage is having troubles. And an interview I saw this morning with him basically says his wife is complaining that he's not home enough. And his wife came out and said, basically, he's not home enough. So you can have all the material things you want, and life is still going to happen. And we cause it all, most of it, ourselves. But let me get back to what I was saying even before. You can have everything that you want, everything you think you need, and there's still going to be things out there that are going to cause stress. There's the political climate, there's physical illnesses, there's natural disasters, there's wars, there's things that will affect us, you know, economy, you name it, all that stuff's still going to hit us no matter what your position is. So what do? Okay, the ultimate solution to stress is to surrender our lives to God. Seek His wisdom. It's understanding I can't handle this stuff on my own. I don't want to be defeated by stress. So what is this answer? Well, I'm going to go through a lot of things, but I'm going to give you a Bible verse right now because I haven't really read one yet, because everything I'm giving you is a precursor so that we'd understand exactly how incredibly brilliant and perfect God is. Because no matter what we go through, God's Word has an answer for it. So with all the things that I just said this last 20 minutes, listen to what God says in His Word. Listen. He says in Matthew 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink. Don't worry about your body or what you'll put on, what you'll wear. Is not life more than just food and body or mere clothing? You know, of which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to this span of life?" We can't get into that. And God is saying, don't worry about the stresses. Don't worry about the things that we're going through that are just weighing upon us. There are things in our life that we need to understand that we're not going to be able to handle. We do need help. And that help is going to come from God. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And when God says, do not be anxious for anything, He's talking about not being stressed. He's talking about being careful what we do. In Philippians, let me give you what Philippians says. It's a continuation of what this is. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take all this stress, all this worry, all these things that we're going through, take them to God. He'll be able to handle stuff. Nothing's too big for Him. And even if we get answers if we're praying for answers, that answer may be a yes, it may be a no, it may be not now, but God has all the answers. He'll have a way to take our burdens from us. But again, it says in Philippians, after we present these requests to God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And this is the part I really like. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put those into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What that is saying, and it's pretty to the point, look, we're not going to be able to handle all this stuff on our own. We just won't be able to. And what he's saying, what the Word of God is saying, is that if we focus on that stress, if we focus on the issues and the problems instead of the problem solver, if we focus on all of the things that are overwhelming us rather than the person who can take away the stress and overwhelming from us, then we're going to be in trouble. When God says, fix our thoughts on what's true, that'll cut out all the false things that we get fed, what's ever honorable and right. And that cuts again right through all the false things that the world throws on us. When you don't know what to believe, you can believe in God's word. What's ever pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Those things are excellent, worthy of praise. And then he says, put that into practice. Trust God, and he'll give us peace. And that's just what God is saying. The material stuff, hey, look, it doesn't matter. Okay, look, so you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to share again. I came off some pretty tough couple of stressful, overwhelming years in 2018 and 2020. It's pretty easy to tell you. I mean, there's a lot that happened. 2018, the beginning of 2018, because I always want you to know who you're listening to and what I'm about. So 2018, my wife and I said, it's going to be our best year ever. We lived up in Paradise. We had just took a lot of money out of our retirement and built this great backyard because my daughters were pregnant and I was going to have grandkids and it was going to be amazing. So we had 3 acres up in Paradise and we built this park area for my kids and it was beautiful. It was really great. Swings and slides and climbing structures and grass and fountains and park benches. It was awesome. And basically in May of 2018, pretty much my best friend and mentor, Rick Stout, passed away from some heart issues after a few months of struggling. And that was brutal. He was the assistant pastor, associate pastor for Rock of Life Fellowship, for our church. And that was brutal. That was May 6th. And then on June 4th, I was talking with my dad in his room. My dad lived with me. And suddenly he had a major heart attack. And, I look at it now and I had the honor to be with my dad as he passed. He passed in my arms and, we did everything to resuscitate him, but, the Lord decided to take him home. So we dealt with that. And then a few months later, November, Paradise burned down, as well as my house, my sister's house, my in-laws' home as well, where my kids lived, and my niece's. And so within just a few months, I pretty much lost everything. And just about a month after the fire, my wife, Debbie, who's been struggling for 18 years with a neurological disease similar to MS, for most of you that know our family know Debbie's challenges and her journey, had an accident off the scooter that she drives because she's unable to walk outside the hotel that we were staying in because we didn't have a home. And completely shattered her leg and ended up in the hospital for over a month and rehab therapy for quite some time. That was probably the most stressful time in my life. It was brutal. I didn't have a home. I'm in a hotel with my kids upstairs with their dogs and their newborn baby without my dad, without associate pastor, and we were trying to build a church. And the church wasn't done yet. you know, to get a new location for our church, and ran out of money, ran out of volunteers. And I kind of looked at the Lord. I walked outside 10 o'clock at night, coming back from Walmart, saying, you know, with a bag in my hand with clothes, and I was by myself, and I was thinking, you know, just a few months ago, my dad was here. I had a car. I had a home. Everything was okay, and I'm struggling, being overwhelmed by the stress and the situation of it all. And I'm walking outside Walmart back to the hotel room because my wife is in the hospital, and I'm thinking, man, what just happened? What just happened? I was at a loss. Yes, I was stressed. Yes, I was overwhelmed. And yes, I was going to God saying, Lord, what is going on? Thousands upon thousands of people just lost everything. And I was looking at my own life going, how am I going to handle this stress? And I remembered an event that happened in the Bible when Jesus was talking about communion. And he was telling people about the bread of life, the body, the blood of Christ. And people were getting freaked out by what Jesus was saying. And it's always emotional for me. And Jesus is basically looking at disciples that were following him and left. They left him. And Jesus turns to disciples and says, are you going to leave me too? Are you also going to go? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, there's no one else who has any answers. There's no one else that can teach us the truth. Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else can tell us what you can tell us? To us, where would we go? There is nowhere else to go, Lord. And that's exactly what it is that we need to remember. And if you're not a believer in Christ yet, if you haven't started that relationship with Jesus yet, I'm going to tell you flat out from experience, when I lost everything and I was a man of faith, and I still am, obviously, and I looked and I saw everything that disappeared in my life. And at that time, there was a lot of people walking away from Christ. There was a lot of people walking away from their faith going, hey, if this is being a Christian, I'm out of here. If this is what being a believer is and all this stuff can happen to me, if this is how God takes care of his kids, and I'm out. But I knew there was more than that. See, it's during these times when I can go to the Lord because he is the one who has answers. And 4 years later, now it's 2022, you know, 2 years later for all the stuff that we had to do, God allowed us and blessed us to rebuild. We rebuilt. And yes, my dad is no longer here, but the faith that I have in Christ enables me to know I'm going to see him again. And I can look back at 2018 to 2020 as probably some of the most blessed times I've ever had in my life. And at the midst of these trials, in the midst of these tribulations, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, spiritual, whether you're having financial problems or work problems, relationship problems, no matter what you're going through, that stuff is temporary when you have a relationship with Christ. Because all the stuff that I went through, when I didn't see a hope or a faith, I looked at the Lord that I had this relationship with and I went, you're my hope. You're the one I have faith in. Where else am I going to go? No one else is going to be able to put my life back together. Because life happened. It was anything by my doing at that. I mean, I've caused plenty of my own problems. But during this time, this was just life. And where else was I going to go but to the Lord to handle all the stress and the issues that were going on? I couldn't leave God. I couldn't leave my faith. Where else would I go? Nobody else has the answers. And that's what Peter was saying. God, Jesus, where else am I going to go? Nobody else has the answers. Obviously, they had experience being in the world. The world doesn't offer us any answers. Do you think our politicians can offer us any answers to our problems in this nation? No. Do you think we can do this on our own? No. Do you think that even companies and organizations and that they're going to offer us solutions to the world's problems? No. There's only one person that offers us questions, that answers our questions. that takes care of us in times of need, that we can go to and take our burdens and lay them down and focus on peace and focus on hope and focus on joy when the world offers us none of it, and that's Jesus. That's just the way it is. When God tells us not to be anxious about anything, don't be stressed about anything, but rather turn everything over to Him in prayer, He'll lift our burdens and our concerns to a holy and righteous God. Psalm 55:22 tells us to cast all our cares on Him because He will sustain us and He will never fail us. And I'm telling you from experience, my best friend pastor died. A month later, my dad dies in my arms. My wife has had a debilitating disease, no longer is able to walk or care for herself for 18 years. I lost my home. I lost my material possessions, all the videos of my kids. I thought we just ran out of the house to save our lives. My wife ended up in a hospital from an accident. Now I'm going to tell you, these were one of the blessed years I've ever had. Why? Not because of the problems, but because of the solutions and because of the care that Christ gave to me. My dad had his faith. I know I'm going to see him again. My best friend, associate pastor, Rick Stout, helped establish Rock of Life Ministry. It wouldn't be where it is today without God using Pastor Rick Stout to reach me and help me understand my calling from God to be a pastor. The fact that I understand that material things don't mean anything. Absolutely. The only thing that I miss from this fire are the personal possessions. My kids, you know, mementos, the thing, the notes they wrote to me when they were kids, the videos, the pictures, the photos, my dad's bass, some family heirlooms, that stuff, yes, I miss that. But even that is physical. Even that is just temporary. What I'm praising God for is that we made it out alive. Running out of the house with everything on fire, it was a miracle, and I'm pleased with that. My kids are fine. I'm fine. My wife made it. My mom made it out. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful that God blessed me during these times, because you know what else He did during this time to bless me? When everybody else would have thought, oh my gosh, how could you have faith still? Oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I've got the best friends I've ever had in my life. The support that poured in was amazing. I've never been so blessed in my life by people that showed their love and concern for me and my family and for others. They helped us out financially. They helped us out spiritually, emotionally. There were people there for us to cry on their shoulders, people that, you know, gave us money so we could afford clothing, people that offered us their homes to stay in until we can get back on our feet, the prayers that came in and to help rebuild our church, because we were moving from a school into refurbishing a building here in Chico, and we ran out of money and workers, and we had people from all over the country that found out that we needed to finish this church. We had people from Oregon, Texas, the East Coast, here in California, groups of people that came in and helped us to finish this church. It was amazing how God supplied our needs. Because Matthew 6:33 says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things, all these needs will be added to us. He'll take care of these things. So I realize that depending on God is everything. So if you don't have that relationship with Christ and you're wondering how are you gonna get by? Is everything gonna be absolutely perfect? Is all your problems gonna go away? No. No, I'm still dealing with stuff. We still have issues. My wife hasn't been healed yet. We just got back from Arizona. You know, went to the Mayo Clinic last week and went to see some specialists and some neurologists. We didn't get the answers that we were hoping or praying for, but we still came back with hope because we did learn some things. I'm telling you, there is no other place that we can go to but to the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ offers peace if we come to Him with our worries and concerns. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's in John 14:27. See, God offers us things this world cannot offer. This world cannot fix your problems. The world, of all the things that, you know, the government and the nation and all these things that they try to do to take care of everybody, it's not going to work. And I'm not being political. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, you want to know who can take care of you? God. God will take care of our needs. God will take care of things when we rely and trust in him. And I'm not talking about give you the best house, the best car, all the money you want, you know, all the health you want. I'm talking about in the midst of trials and tribulations. I'm talking about no matter if you have an issue, a sickness, a physical disability, an emotional challenge, a mental challenge, and no matter what you're dealing with, relationships, you're trying to overcome an addiction, this world is not going to offer you one single long-term solution. Everything the world offers you is some type of a temporary Band-Aid that makes you feel good for a moment, gives you a happiness for a brief moment. And God's offering you a joy that lasts forever. See, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is temporary. A joy can last forever. Even in the midst of the stuff that we've gone through the last few years, my family, thank God my family believes in Christ, has a relationship with Jesus, puts our faith in God and in his word. We still had a joy. We still got together and we support each other. And that kind of joy only comes from the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. That's what the Bible says. And there are times I was definitely unhappy. I wasn't happy my dad left. I wasn't happy my house burnt down. I'm not happy that my wife is ill. I'm not happy that I struggle with some things. I'm not happy that we didn't get that church built on time. There's a lot of things I'm not happy about, but I have this joy that permeates through all that because the joy of the Lord is where I get my strength because I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I've tried. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right. I'm going to shift gears slightly. Same topic about being stressed and overwhelmed. If you just joined us, I just want to kind of recap. I've got about 18 minutes left. This is Pastor Alfredo from Rock of Life Fellowship. Our topic today is a world that's stressed, a world that's overwhelmed, and what are we doing about it? There was an article that came out from American Psychological Association talked about at no time, according to their records and their polls, that have people ever been so stressed, from our youth to our seniors and all the age groups in between. If it's not politics, if it's not crime, if it's not the pandemic, if it's not the unrest, if it's not finances, if it's not health, it's whatever. People are stressed. And as I talk to people, obviously everybody's in the same boat. So in the next few minutes or so, what I want to talk about is, so what do we do now? I've talked about turning to the Lord, but tangibly and break it down, what does that mean? You know, what does God do for us? And I know he gives us peace. I know he gives us joy. I know that God has the answers. And I've read Bible verses. Psalm 61:2 says, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All right, so whether you're a believer in Christ or not, if you got a pen and paper, if you've got your phone or your iPad out, some type of device that you could write a few things down, now's the time to do it. Because if you got family and kids and jobs and school and you're trying to stay healthy and you're trying to take care of things and pay bills, if you get up in the morning and you rush out the door and you try to get all your things done in the day, and whether you have kids or not, you're trying to get yourself ready, you're trying to do your homework or your work, whether you're married or single, whether you're, you know, whatever your situation is, and you get home and you have barely enough time to scarf something down and go back to bed and start the next day, and you feel like you can barely breathe, okay, that's pretty much all of us. But if that's you, I've got some things to share with you for the next 15 minutes. All right, so what God says, and we've read these Bible verses, come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. His yoke is easy, his burden's light, and he's telling us to go to him. And what that basically means is that we don't want to be afraid. We don't want to be overwhelmed. So we go to the Lord. Because God says, if you cry out to me, when your heart is overwhelmed, I'll lead you to this rock of safety. For he is our refuge, a fortress where our enemies cannot reach us. This is Psalm 61, 2-4. It says, let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Number one, there is no other answers but God. No one can shelter us. No one's going to give us peace other than God. So the first thing is Psalm 61:2. Know that where we have to go when we're overwhelmed, we cry to the Lord for help. He's that towering rock of safety. He's that safe refuge. He's that hug that we need. Before we even search for an answer, He's the one that we go to that'll wrap his arms around us and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Before he tells us what to do, before we even take any action, haven't you ever been like that where you just needed a hug? You just needed somebody to tell you it's going to be all right. You just needed somebody to just not even say anything, just embrace you and let you rest in his arms. And that's the first thing. We need to rest in his arms. We need to go to God. Number two, start our day with God. I read this earlier. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That just means no matter what we do in our day, we have to start with God. We have to. We have to wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, let's go after this day together. I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, God, it's you and me. You and me, God. Hey, you've got it. You lead the way. Whatever happens, whatever decisions I make, let me pause and confer with you, Lord. Let me do a morning prayer with you. I want to dedicate my day to you. Say, your opening prayer. So that second thing you do is start your day with God. Wake up in the morning and wake up, wash your face, whatever you need to do. But the very first thing we need to do is say, today, Lord, I'm going to pray with you. Lord, it could be short. Lord, I just thank you for being with me for the whole time. I love you. Help me make the decisions that please you. Thank you for being with me. I know you never leave me. I know you never forsake me. And there's nothing that this day is going to throw at me that you can't handle. And thank you for that, God. All right. Third thing. Understand that life is going to happen. And it's way better with God than without him. That's the third thing. Life is going to happen. And God being with you will get you through it. It's way better with him. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Ecclesiastes, if you read that, and I would read that if I was, I'm asking you to read Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for all these different things. So as we go through our day, as we go through life, we understand there's going to be a time where we're laughing. There's going to be a time where we're crying. There's going to be a time when we're rejoicing. There's going to be a time where we're mourning. There's this time under all things under heaven. And we can get through all these times with God. With God, do something to make sure that you understand that things are temporary. For me, I spend time with my family, my grandkids. It used to be basketball, but it's another topic. Basketball is ruined for me right now. I used to be a big, NBA fan, and right now I can't do it anymore. I used to watch it with my dad and some other things, but now it's all about my kids. I do something to bring in what Ecclesiastes 3 says, a time to laugh and a time to dance. When I focus on the laughing and the dancing, it helps me overcome the weeping in the mourning. Not that there's not a time to weep and mourn. I mourned a lot for my dad, and I still do. And I weep at times for the things I lost in the fire. But I know that's temporary with my Lord, because I know that he gives me a time to laugh, a time to dance, a time to rejoice. With me, that's my family. All right, so here's a fourth thing. Number four. And we got a few more minutes. I'm going to give you as many as I can before time runs out. Plant yourself in the Word of God. Plant yourself in the presence of the Lord. Do not separate yourself from God, okay? Do not separate yourself from the Word of God. That's number four. Do not walk away. Psalm 1 through 3 says, that's difficult to say. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. All right, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to plant yourself in the Word of God, which means do a daily devotional. Download a Bible app. I'm going to tell you a couple of things real quick, and I really want you to do this for me, please. Download a Bible app that gives you some type of a daily devotion that gets pushed to your phone. Or if you don't have a phone, or whatever reason you don't use social media, download an app, an iPad on your computer, or buy a book, buy a devotion with daily devotionals. Whatever you need to do, start your day off and do a devotional. Keep the Word of God in your heart and meditate on it. Even if you just read a sentence, a verse, a chapter, whatever you read, meditate on that. Make that your focus for the day. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me now. On YouTube, for those of you that have access to YouTube, there is a song called Stand Under the Water. It's a song that we recorded years ago. But for the very first time, it just got put on YouTube. It has over 500 views. I'd like to get it as many views as possible. It is that chance to meditate, because Psalm 1 through 3 says, and in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want you to search Stand Under the Water. It is a song, a 6-minute song that you could put on, that you could click on and play over and over again as you meditate on God's word. It talks about the rivers of water, God's water just pouring on us. It is such a powerful song, a worship song, a song to meditate on the word of God by. It's called Stand Under the Water. It's on YouTube. If you go to our Facebook site, there's a link to it as well. And just go on Rock of Life Fellowship on Facebook, and there is a link, or just go on YouTube. You can even go on our Rock of Life Fellowship YouTube site and just type in Stand Under the Water. Like it and please share it. I believe in the anointing of this. God uses this song and has used it powerfully all over this world. I know people in different countries that have sent me messages how this song has impacted and encouraged their meditation with God and just help them worship. So Stand Under the Water. It's a wonderful song from the Lord. I would encourage everyone to do that. All right, Word of God. And I'm going to start closing with this. Okay, lastly, I'm going to close with this. Number 5, when you're overwhelmed by life and you're overcome and with stress, and especially for those that are listening that are not in a relationship with Jesus, go for him. Search for him. Search for Christ. Find a church, a Bible-based, true-to-the-word church. Now, I can promote Rock of Life Fellowship, but I'm not here to promote Rock of Life Fellowship. I'm here to promote Jesus. So search for a Bible-based, believing church. I'm trying to be really blunt with this without being offensive to anyone. But there's a lot of churches that don't believe in the true Jesus. They don't believe that the Bible is the absolute authority of God. There's a lot of churches that believe that they're the only church in town that has, no. You need a Bible-based church. And I'm telling you, you're welcome to Rock of Life Fellowship. And you can even call me at 530-588-4700. I'd be more than glad to point you to some other churches in town that I have faith in, as far as being all about the real Jesus, the Word of God being the absolute truth. So number 5 is you've got to reach out for Christ. You've got to find a Bible study. You have to find a group of people that understand who Jesus is, people that can pray with you, people that can lift you up. You need to find a Christian community. We all need that. We need that fellowship. We need that. And, okay, last couple of points. I'm going to tell you that we all need to understand that there's a focus that needs to be done on Jesus. He's always going to be our leadoff hitter. Don't be freaked out because Jesus, there's attempts to misrepresent who Jesus is. Even in the church, I'm going to tell you straight up, it's not about seeking what God can do for you. It's not about seeking God's hand. It's not about seeking God's blessings. It's not about seeking answers to what your problems are. The priority is Jesus's love, who God is, the questions to eternity, the questions to eternal life. God says he doesn't want not one person to perish. He wants everybody to come to this repentance, to this realization that Jesus is Lord, to turn away from this world, to leave behind the sins that we commit and ask for forgiveness and accept God's grace, mercy, and love. Everything starts with Jesus. And then see what happens. So here's the point of what I'm trying to tell you, all right? And I'm going to be pretty blunt. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing right now, no matter what you believe right now, when you search for Jesus, he will accept you. You may not stay the same. After a while, as you get to know Jesus, you're going to get to know more of who you are. As you get to know the identity of Christ, you get to know more the identity of Christ in you. So things that you think are important to you right now, put those aside and reach out and find out who Jesus is and how much he loves you. Don't worry about the politics and the identity, and don't worry about these things like now. And I'm telling you right now, the more you get to know who Jesus is, the more you get to know who you are. And this is really important. The things that you think are important to you right now, as you get to know Jesus and his word and his love, suddenly those things that you thought were important, they don't become so important anymore because you start to understand the word of God. And the things that you don't think are important right now, the things you think, I don't care about that. I don't care about this. You'll start to find out if they're important to God, they're going to be important to you. See, Jesus does accept us the way we are. That's true. That doesn't mean we're going to stay that way. I thank God, because when I went to Christ, last couple of minutes here, when I went to Jesus, oh boy, wow. No. I was unacceptable. Oh no. I was unacceptable. I was doing things that, there's no way. I mean, if it was all about law and not grace, there was no reason why Jesus would accept me. Nope. I broke pretty much every commandment. I lived a horrible life. I definitely wasn't pleasing God in anything. I was no. But God says, I love you, and I'm gonna forgive you. And I have this thing called grace, where you don't deserve any of this, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. I'm gonna offer it to you anyway. All I'm asking is that you believe in me. All I'm asking is that you turn away from the things of this world and love me. And that's what Jesus says. And he completely turned my life around. There are things that I had skills and gifts that I was using, but not for the Lord. And I got to keep all that, all the skills and the gifts like music and things. And God allowed me to keep that, but he helped me to understand that I needed to use it for his glory and not mine. And the blessings of my family, God allowed me to keep that too, and he made it better. I got to know my identity in Christ. I got to know that. Here's the thing. I no longer wanted to do the things I was doing in my life, not because they were wrong, but because it didn't please God. And that's what made it wrong. I wanted to please God more than anything. And that motivated me. He took away a lot of that stress and gave me answers. He helped me understand when I give things to him, he gives it back to me in ways I couldn't believe, because it glorified him and not myself. All right. God bless you. I'm going to close by saying this is Pastor Alfredo Romero from Rock of Life Fellowship. If you're interested, we are open every Sunday, 10 a.m. We have Bible studies during the week and certain events during the week. You can look us up on Facebook, look up our website, rockoflifechico.org. You can look us up on YouTube. But the main important thing is that you look up Jesus. Okay? Look up Jesus. He's got answers for us that we didn't think we'd ever find. I just want to thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And remember, Jesus takes that stress away and gives you laughter, joy that's beyond anything you've ever experienced before. God bless you. Welcome to Christ today. We'll see you next week. Holy Spirit, burn inside.